Hey, you are going to hear Danny's welcome into the party soon, but we are just here because
this is before the welcome.
Yep, this is pre-welcome.
This is weird.
This is a retraction to a retraction.
Oh yeah,
because this party was already recorded, and then we learned some more information. And in the party, you will hear us do a retraction.
Well, we already had the information, but I didn't think it was worth bringing. But Pearl thinks it's worth bringing.
Yes. So the retraction to the retraction is the retraction, as you're soon about to hear, was that oat milk is sort of suspect. We used to think it was okay. And then we discovered, as you'll hear in the party, that they do this enzymatic process to most of oat milk, which turns it into maltose, which is a very high sugar. That's the retraction. The retraction to this retraction is, well, guess what? Not all oat milks do
it. There are some brands. I think it's like Planet Oat.
And Silk.
Yes. And they will be called unsweetened. And I thought that oat milk ran by a different set of rules and didn't have to say unsweetened because their ingredients said no sugar. There was no sugar in the ingredients. And I'm like, well, this is unsweetened. They didn't say it on the front cover. But the ones that actually say unsweetened on the front cover, and then you go to the nutrition profile, and if it says 0 grams of sugar added, that enzymatic process has not occurred. And yeah, you will taste the difference.
And that means it's on plan.
Yes.
Might not be yummy, but it's fine. So
it's not that it's yucky, Pearl. It's just that there was something very, very addicted to
anyway,
the maltose.
Currently, you don't really know what we're talking about. But
and the reason why we didn't want to say that on the day is because most baristas and cafes at the airport and everything are not going to have that one. They're going to have the...
Yeah.
The one that's going to be.
But anyway, nice talking to you. We're going to go now.
Good on you, mate.
And we'll let the party unfold as it shall.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
More fun than stepping on a cat turd in your bare feet. It's the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and I'm Danny Valdez. Thanks for coming and hanging, party people.
Okay, our question. Did you think of some jokes on your way in, and that was one of them that you chose?
No. I'll tell you what happened.
Did that come now?
I'll tell you what happened.
The cat turd one.
I put my cat in the garage and bid her adieu for the evening. And
this is last night?
Yeah, because you know how cats can be. You know, it's like time
for... I don't know. I don't do cats.
You don't?
No.
Yeah, well... You know, time for bed. It's time to have a wild beast terrorizing your home and just tearing curtains off the walls,
no,
et cetera.
Right.
So I put it in the garage and went out to look for her this morning. And it's not a normal kind of turd. You know, it's a slender, chalky, aggressive turd.
Oh.
Did you go and quickly do the little foot bath?
Oh, man. It slides right between those toes. Like you've never experienced. It's its own experience.
Well, this is more fun than that.
This is way more fun than stepping on a cat turd.
I thought you introduced like that because you were trying hard to get good momentum because you're gentle, Dan, today. Sometimes he comes in here, he's got wild, huge hair. He's got a leather jacket. He's rode his motorcycle in and he rushes in through the door like a tornado has just pushed him through the door.
Yeah.
But today he's sitting and he's got a button-up shirt. But it's got some floral patterns to it. His hair is very down and very in.
So down.
It's demure for Dan.
It's gentle Dan.
Yeah. And so I thought gentle Dan was just really needing to get some energy and he just really tried hard with an extra joke.
Well, it's all wrong because gentle Dan's passionate today.
Okay. Oh, gentle Dan is. All right.
Thanks for matching my energy.
Yeah, no, I just tried.
Wait, that's
Sorry, no, I thought...
You first.
Oh, you go.
Well, I just want to hear about I want to continue the orchard conversation. You were telling us about orchards.
Oh, you want to go straight into it?
Well, because I heard half of it, and you know how when you hear
we were doing practicing a pre-potty because we were trying to figure out what we were going to do, and Serene had this idea, and so we were already pottying.
But can I have a...
Can I do a
quick humble pie before we start?
It's your podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to humble pie it.
I want you guys to know that the reason why you can trust us is because we have no problem in saying, hey, we got it totally wrong. Wrong-o. Like wrong-o.
Like, let's get to it. What did you get wrong?
Well, you know,
you got it wrong too, Danny. It was just last week's potty. Last week's potty about coffee shops.
Well, you know, okay, so we've been into the oat milk lately because we're like, hey, it says in the ingredient list, no sugar added. There's no sugar. It doesn't say dextrose. It doesn't say anything. It just says... the oat base is water and oats, and then it had a bunch of minerals they added. And riboflavin. On the one that had little fat, it would either say like a canola oil or a sunflower oil, and 2% amount or whatever. So we're like, okay.
And we were skeptical about it, Serene. We were like, why does it have like 6 grams of sugar? And then we said, well, oats are a carb. Maybe it's just from
the carbs. That's what we thought. They have no sugars in the ingredients. So it must be from the carbs in the oats. And we're thinking, well, oats are gentle carbs.
That's fine.
And amounts that they're going to add in their coffee or have on their oat milk.
A shot of it.
More
right?
power to them. On the oats, it's going to be an E anyway. On the in their porridge in the morning, or whatever you want to call it in America, your oatmeal.
Yeah, we don't call it porridge. But
and then
good on you.
If you're going to have a splash or two in your coffee, the amount in the oat milk wasn't going to wreck them, right? Well, I just decided to look it up. And I thought, well, it really does freak me out that actually in the nutrition profile where they put all the numbers and percentages, it does say 7 grams of added sugar or maybe 11 depending on the brand. But it will say added sugar. But then there's no sugar in the ingredient list. I was concerned. So I'm like,
you'd already been oat milking out, right?
Oh, oat milking like ninny. Like it was mother's milk to
my
soul.
Same in my house at night when I shouldn't be.
No drink was made without it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go right from the container because it's your private container?
Yeah, I had my special half cup before going to bed, sipping it like a wino.
No, I mean from the bottle in the fridge.
Oh, no, that's nasty.
Well, I do because I'm the only guy that drinks it. It's mine.
That was on your big bad masculine Dan days.
Hold on, one more thing. I don't put my mouth on it though. I hover it over and I pour it in.
Yeah, like, but
my
mouth is the messy. Glass. You're not knowing how many ounces you're getting in there.
Oh, that's true. Well, a mouthful or two.
You burp.
I do a mouthful or two, depending on how bold I feel.
I can't picture Gentle Dan doing
that. I researched it and I come to find out that the reason why it has a natural, what I call the wee-wee dyed sweet.
Oh.
A wee-wee dyed is the tweamy side. It's the ninny. Yeah. It's the breast milk. My daughter called it wee-wee dyed.
That's right.
But it has that really addictive little sweet. And I hate sweet, but it was an under the radar sweet. Where you think there's no added sugar. I know.
An earthy sweet.
Yeah,
earthy
there's something
sweet
about this oats. It's just incredible. The reason is because they add some enzymes to the oats when they're cooking it in the water base. Just some enzymes. So they're not adding sugar. But those enzymes break down those slow-burning oat carbs into faster-burning carbs. It actually breaks it down into a maltose, M-A-L-T-O-S-E.
Which
and maltose
creates a sugar,
is a high glycemic sugar.
But I'm trying to think this through right now because I was thinking about this. We have enzymes in our stomach right now.
Yes.
I take digestive enzymes with my meals just to help me digest.
But it's the heat process, Bill. It's the breaking down with the heat process.
But my stomach is pretty hot.
It's not a cauldron.
The gastric juices in there, I feel like they're hot.
Well,
why do you feel like they're hot?
But you're not, by the time your stomach has done that, it's already kind of digested and you've absorbed stuff. If you're putting it in a simpler form into your body already from the beginning, it's going to be a faster sugar rise to your bloodstream. That's
so
what I'm trying
to
say.
So do we know? So we're thinking no more oat milk for you then, Serene.
I'm off of it, but you personal choice. It doesn't say it's adding any sugar, but apparently according to some, we don't get into all the bloggers because some are sensational bloggers.
Yeah.
And we don't want to get to that, but You make your own informed decision. I just don't want to advertise it here on the potty. Yeah. Like, oh, it's so perfect because
we don't know that it's perfect
anymore.
We
don't know if it's perfect anymore.
Okay, so I have a question here. Depending on the time the sweetener is put into the concoction.
There's no sweetener put in.
Well, it's an enzyme.
The oats turning into a simple sugar.
So it results in a sugar though, right?
Yeah.
A highly glycemic sugar.
Yes.
Apparently it's like 60 on the GI.
Yes.
Is it natural?
As high as sugar.
Like high, because honey's high too?
No, higher than honey.
Okay.
Way higher than.
So
honey's
this is
like a glucose, fructose combo.
But this isn't found in the earth. What's it called again?
Maltose.
M-A-L-T-O-S-E.
Now, can I find maltose growing anywhere on the earth? I mean, or is it a reaction? It comes out of two things combined or what?
See, these are good questions.
They are good questions. And
obviously, we don't know yet.
Okay, well, here's the bigger question is how far does this go in the ingredient lists we have? If they, so long as a chemical process happens, then
something. I know, but my point is some of these companies have been actually taken to court already over the subject because people are seeing it as there's no sugar in the ingredients. So I'm buying it like an unsweetened thing.
Right.
However, in the nutritional profile, they know enough to say 7 grams of added sugar per serving, or 11 or whatever. And I'm trying to say, with almond milk, they don't have to say that. There's no process that causes a sugar. And so what I'm saying is, if there are other more waste-friendly milk substitutes out there, I personally I'm going to go with those, even though I hate almond milk in my coffee. So I'm going back to nut pods.
Okay, but here's the deal. You said, you know, when you do an Americano on the last party where we talked and you were endorsing oat milk.
Yes, I was.
You were like, I get an Americano and I steam oat milk and I use about a quarter of a cup and I put it in my Americano.
Yes.
Even then, even if it's got some maltose in it, it's probably not perfect, but it's not really, if you're using small amounts, it's probably not going to do anything to someone.
You didn't put on a lot of weight.
I don't see
No, but I just want to be open with people. So I'm here to say, you know,
just research it yourself.
I'm a little bit iffy about it. I actually have left my oat milk container standing untouched. It's 3/4 full and I haven't touched it since I learned about that. Just because I just don't feel confident in it. I'll feed it to my children.
Okay.
I can run it off. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, so anyway, that was my humble pie.
You know, I've always read ingredient lists and went, okay, I like on the ones where I do understand, like, okay, I understand all this. And somehow I still don't trust it. I'm like, it's still, I can taste something that I almost have this sense that I don't need to drink too much of it.
Yeah.
And I've always had that with oat milk. Like, hey, you love this, but let's go chill. You remember old Dan and how old Dan used to do fistfuls of Parmesan cheese at midnight. Let's relax on the oat milk.
Yeah.
That's true. You got to find where you, and maybe you've been drinking oat milk and you're like, well, Pearl and Serene, I've been doing great.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep it up.
Well, maybe your body is fine with that.
But I just didn't want to make people stall.
I know.
Maybe it's fine, or maybe it's actually not fine and it's has a couple switches that aren't operating and it's not giving you any symptoms, but it will long term.
Yeah. And I don't know if we want to be so... talk about this before we discuss it together, Pearl, but it made me myself think about this too. On the subject of oats being broken down, we always say, you know, the more whole a grain, the slower it is digested. Like if you have more like steel cut, it's a little bit lower glycemic than old fashioned, and then old fashioned is a little bit more lower glycemic than quick.
Yes.
But I'm thinking once it's chewed up by your good old teeth, I'm just swallowing the same broken down stuff.
I know, that's what I thought, those very same things myself, but I think it retains some sort of integrity.
Good. And then my good old mum, our good old mum, used to say, don't drink with your meal. It dilutes your enzymes. But then what? Soup.
Soups, you water know? Content. Water content with meals apparently is supposed to be fantastic for you. Body.
Keep talking.
Water with food, for the record, is fantastic, right?
We didn't grow up like that. In New Zealand, we're trained.
You know what I think,
not drink with your meals.
But I think they probably ascribe some holiness to it, but maybe it originates in like eat your food because I don't want you to be hungry again, or you know what I mean? Like save, like fill yourself with the nutrition.
It was a good religion. They really believed it, Dan. Yeah. They really thought that it was unhealthy to drink. Well, my mum did.
But now you've got me. I'm in the middle of a party and now I'm really studying this maltose.
Let's talk about this another day. But at least you know, we're ongoing with you guys about the subject. Just so you know, we're going to learn along with you, and we're not afraid to come back and say, hey, we kind of wanting to undo what we said. We don't get it right every time.
Yeah, but like the fact that you have the wherewithal to even search this out. I mean, who does that? That's part of, I think, the problem in all these ingredients in our foods. Like when you leave that perimeter of the grocery store and you get into the box stuff and you start, you know, the cascade of like, of shame. Almost. Like when I'm reading the back of a box, like the first thing I'm like, all right, wheat germ, you know, I've heard that word wheat and it grows in the earth. I'm going to move on. I don't know why the word germ's there, but okay. Monosaccharides. And I'm like, yeah, there's like one saccharide in there. It's probably like a protein found in nature. I'm going to keep going. We're good. We're good.
I'm already and then you get to like, box, dude.
You get to like maltodextrocancero and you're like, no. You know what? These are fine. I eat these as a kid, still here. Mom bought these in the bucket. Like that's like my progression when I'm in the center aisles. I start getting those dark words down there and I'm just like, man, it's got to be fine because I know the FDA loves me and my generations, right? They're
the
really
FDA
pumped.
Is stamped box, Dan.
So anyways,
Yeah, so keep posted as we learn about oat milk and all of that stuff, maltose and all that. But we actually have something to bring today.
You do, Serene, to bring it.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to bring it all together.
Okay, well, you start.
And, Three, two, one. Is adding to it. Yeah, we've got to get into this thing. So we back to my trip. I have...
You got many a potty out of that.
Many a potty, man. I'm stretching that trip out west. When we were in Utah, we stopped by this lovely town of Fruita. Yeah.
Fruita.
Yeah. Fruita. And many of you listening may have gone. It was such a beautiful experience. They have over 2,000 varieties of heirloom fruit trees.
Oh.
It was like a little oasis in this harsh desert.
A town called Fruita grows fruit?
Yeah. Well, it's they called it Fruita, I'm sure, after they planted the trees. But they were heirloom varieties and apricots and cherries and amazing. And you can go and you can buy ice cream with that fruit in it.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Just so you know, I said no, but all my children said yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you I would have said it.
But I brought the creamed honey.
I would have said yes.
And I brought the creamed honey to go on my Ezekiel bread.
Ooh.
It was so yum. I would have done sourdough, but I was on a holiday, didn't have it. But it was like apricot and peach creamed honey. No added cream. They just whip it.
Yeah.
Like granddad used to, Pearl. And you could also order like rhubarb and cherry pies. Oh, it was amazing. It was a beautiful place to stop if you're ever in Utah in the summer. But it just made me think because the whole story of the town is that these few families just decided to plant trees for the future.
Really?
And
in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere. And they actually, this whole little oasis began and was nurtured and it became so much more of a luscious valley.
Turn your phone off, Serene.
Yeah, I'll turn my phone off. It was, I don't know how to do it. Oh, yes, I do. Yeah. So it was, it almost became luscious because of the way that they had to bring water in and everything. It was just pretty much not much of a valley at all. It was pretty much part of the arid, you know, landscape. But they made it something amazing just with time and effort. But they weren't thinking for themselves because those fruit trees take years, like, you know,
decades.
And so they were thinking for their future generations. They were planting for the future. And I thought to myself, wow, they were probably thinking grandchildren. And here I am, like hundreds of years later.
Yeah. And how many trees are there?
Over 2,000 varieties.
Oh, wow.
Varieties. So there's way more trees than that.
Wow.
Man, they were big thinkers.
They were big thinking. I'm like, I'm enjoying this with my children on this amazing summer of 2021, having, you know, a beautiful slice of bread with creamed honey. And my children are having rhubarb and cherry pie from these people.
Man.
And they're heirloom varieties. And I'm thinking to myself, what forward thinking, what future thinking? And it made me think of my decisions for my family. I'm like, wow, am I just living for the now? Am I just making sure their teeth are brushed and, you know, and that you know, I tick off the box of it every day? Or am I thinking long-term for these guys? And it just really inspired me. And I came and talked to Dan and Pearl about it this morning. They're like, hey, we got a potty about this. Because a lot of times we think our health journey is just for us. We think our health journey is just for now. We're like, oh, I ate a Twinkie. It's all over. I just feel like giving up. This doesn't work for me. But it's not really just about you.
Let's go.
It's about long term. And I just think about Al, where did we get the inspiration to be, you know, health dorks, Pearl, when we were seven?
Our grandmother and our mom.
Our Nana. She just loved.
She was the original crunchy.
Yeah, she was the crunchy granola. And she used to take us to the little, what we call sanitariums. They were the little health food stores in New Zealand.
They were called sanitariums?
Sanitariums. Yes.
Like sane or sanitized?
I don't know why they called them sanitarium. Co-producer Leslie, were they called sanitariums in Britain?
Les gone and hit up that Google.
Well, anyway, we went to the sanitarium, and if we were good little girls, our Nana would buy us bee pollen and propolis lozenges.
Yes, she would.
Remember that?
Yes.
And we looked forward to that. And these big, beautiful New Zealand bananas, we'd get one on the car ride home, and then we could eat our bee pollen and propolis lozenge.
No wonder we're so weird, eh?
Yes. and then for our second breakfast when we got home, because this is an early morning trip.
Too, because that's what Nana did for her health.
Then she would have organic millet porridge that she would have had prepared for us.
Yes.
Wow.
She was amazing. And but she used to talk to us about health a lot with this little sniff. Girls, I want to tell you about what's in this. Yeah. So it wasn't an unhealthy sniff. It was just quirk of hers.
And yeah. She was always reading a health book. And I brought all my like 15 health books here today in case we do a potty on health
she
books.
She always had a health book and always some kind of new coffee substitute.
And we're not saying you have to be like a crunchy like her.
No.
We're just saying the things that you do not know what's going to happen with them. She implanted seeds of passion of health in us.
Yeah.
And look, somehow those seeds resonated and they germinated and they flourished. And you guys are listening right now.
Trim Healthy Mama would not exist without her.
Because of our grandmother's seeds.
That's huge, guys.
Of passion.
And then our mother picked that up. And, you know, we were raised, not one bit of yogurt in our house was store-bought. Mm. It was all, remember she would wrap it in the little linen, have it on top of the heater closet and the water closet.
Our mom was like the first, you know, you all your bread bakers and your whole wheat bread. Our mum was doing that when we were in, you know, she had probably one of the first mills.
So we were, she would go to this like a mile down the road in New Zealand to the big mill and take her big sacks of grain and she'd mill it fresh. Well, I tell you what though, we would go to school and I used to feel really rotten because we, in Australia, what the children take to school is chippy Vegemite sandwiches. You have white bread. And inside you have chips. You layer down on the buttered sandwich. Did you, Leslie Potts, is this how you? Yeah.
And okay, butter, say that. Chips. Say that, Leslie. Come here. What did you say?
A chip butty.
Butty.
We didn't call them butty.
B-U-T-T-Y.
Oh, because it's butter and bread and chips.
Butty, like a little butt. That's why you foreigners all have your little cute words for everything. It's like you're raised, it's in your culture.
Yeah, it's in our thing. DNA.
It's like it's a toddy and it's a buddy and it's a little nilly and a nally.
It's a Danny.
Hey, you're listening to The Potty with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
My friends would sit there with their white bread. It was whiter than the snow with the big, thick butter, then the chips, then the Vegemite. In Australia, they had the Vegemite. And then they close it again with another piece of white bread.
Yum.
And
I'm just thinking about that. Yummy.
We sat there with our bread was browner than black.
It was hard.
And it was a bit stale by the time it got to us.
And guess what, Mum put in it?
Stale salad from the night before.
Lettuce. Last night's lettuce that we didn't eat.
Yes.
Your mom, I guarantee she sniffed it too and went, it's edible.
It was mean. Oh my goodness. I hate
it. Right now, I probably would love it.
I would love it now.
But you know, if she was going to get really flash and we got our butty sandwich, it was dates, walnuts, and butter in that brown bread.
It was never chippies. And we got Vegemite, but not chippies in there. And never white bread. I used to dream about white bread. But now I'm like, oh, give me all the brown hard bread. But you know, But somehow, even though when we were children, we despised brown bread, you know how the Bible says.
We loved it when we were in our house. We loved it. It was only when we were sitting next to our friends. But in our house, we loved it. And even with my children raised in my family now, they get married now. They come back. They're like, Mom, where's the bread?
My son Bowen called me this morning. He just got like, Mom, you got any sourdough? Because, you know, I don't make it. I buy it from. Or you give me some. But I buy it from your beautiful daughter, Sila.
Yeah, shout out to Sila.
And he always wants the sourdough because he was raised with it. Now, we're not saying you guys have to be sourdough makers. All we're saying is these things, generations, they come back and they stick. You know, the passion that your mom might have had for making you healthy will come back one day.
You know, we do all these natural makeups now, these natural face creams. Our sister Vange, you know, she was older than us. She was the older sister. And so she went off to Israel and Africa and all these places, but we kind of inherited her room.
Yeah.
And in her room was these books that were all like natural everything. And so we grew up and it was the seeds that she planted through what she was interested in. And it's not just about us.
And now we have a natural makeup line coming out.
I know.
So these seeds, I think what you're saying, Serene, is it's not these things that you're doing. It's not instant. It's not losing weight for your daughter's wedding in 3 months.
No.
It's not trying to get to a size 6. It's planting deep roots that are going to go through you to your new, to further generations, to maybe not even the next generation, but the following and the following and the following. And you can change the cycle of a dynasty.
Well, even Sila making bread where you're buying it from her now. Yeah. She grew up on this. She was raised it. So when she got her own home and beautiful family, you know, it was so natural for her to be like, well, this is the bread I'm going to make for my family. She tweaked it into her own amazing recipe.
What's so funny is, you know, Sila, I saw her at the wedding on, on was it Saturday?
Wedding. My son Isaiah got married to beautiful Addie, who works at the Trim Healthy Cafe here.
It was such a beautiful wedding. I posted pictures, but you wouldn't know that.
I wouldn't know
I posted
that.
Pictures on the Trim Healthy group. So I said to her, I said, oh, talking about bread, I said, I need to get some more. And I'm like, because she, Sila is like Serene. She has a heart for children. She's always fostering children. She's always got new ones. She's trying to adopt
children
more. She's already
right
adopted
now.
Three. She's trying to adopt more, but she always has a house full of babies. And she's just, her heart is so huge.
Yeah.
It's like Serene. She will never turn a baby away. And so I said to her, so they're these children, you know, they come from all sorts of walks of life. They're probably not used to your bread. I said, do they like your bread? You know, this big brown sourdough bread. She's like, oh, well, they do now, but not at first, Auntie Pearl.
Yeah.
But I get them used to it.
Yeah. When you have no contrast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they do. At first, they're, you know, they probably used to white bread or whatever they, you know, maybe the way you grew up, Danny Pop-Tarts and things like that.
Just judge me.
But yeah. Well, I've heard you say that right here. That's why.
It's
but
true.
This generational thing is so big. Like, you know, my daughter, Chalice, she ended up being the bread maker in my home before she got married. And then she got married and she got pregnant and she was so nauseated. And it's these seeds that she grew up with changed her whole pregnancy, because instead of, you know, when you feel like those carbs, when you're first nauseated, you just want dry carbohydrates. Mm. You just don't want all the, you know, the fresh salads. She was just like, Mom, I just need bread. So she ate this bread. She had such a healthy pregnancy because she didn't have to binge on anything that was unhealthy, that was just going to pile a whole bunch of weight on the beginning. So these seeds of us being into health and being raised on healthy bread ourselves has come down the generation now, and is changing generations. It's changing the health of her baby in utero.
Yes.
It's changing the way Sila is nurturing these even foster children as well as her own children. It's so, think of this thing. When you feel like giving up and you're like, it's just way easier the way I did it before. Think about how you're setting up the generations to come and how they will be enjoying the harvest of health. Generations and generations and generations.
And
generations
I think what you're
come.
Saying there, Serene, is so interesting, because there was a comment that came on the Trim Healthy Facebook page the other day, and I understood her exasperation. She was pretty new to the plan, but she was like reasonably new, maybe a few months in, and you know, and I'm not looking down my nose at her, because I mean, I've had the same thoughts myself at some points in my life, where she's like, it's tiring, it's exhausting thinking about a meal, planning for that meal, buying the meal, cooking the meal, eating the meal, then cleaning up after the meal, and then starting again. And she's like, isn't this exhausting? And she's like, tell me it will get better. And I said, do you know, it's really in the last couple of decades that people haven't been doing this.
Right.
It's been the undoing of the health. Because for millennia, for all through historic times, up until the last couple of generations, that's what people did.
Well, let's just take it back a little bit. Before that, they went to the grocery store, they had to go out and get the chicken, pluck all the leaves off it. What do you mean, call those things? Feathers. Pluck all the feathers off them. Stick them in a hot cauldron. You know, do the whole thing. And the hot cauldron, sorry, you got to go get chop the wood down, put it underneath the big iron thing of water, and then get that hot enough and boil before you can even think of scalding the chicken.
True, Serene, but thinking about a meal and planning for a meal, it's noble and it's good and it's natural to the human experience.
Yes.
When we get away from what is natural to the human experience, which is planning for your next meal, things go badly.
Yes,
because you're not thinking about food. And yes, we don't want to get obsessed food, but we must be thinking about food, or else look around at society. Look what's happened when we don't think and we just by impulse. Danny, you're nodding. You got something to say?
I'm just hearing two firebrands give it to the world. I mean, I'm inspired to say all kinds of things, but woe far be it from me to stop.
No, you can tune in.
An I ox just, as it threshes out the grain.
Pearl, think of the memories of us being around our Nana, who we were talking about.
Always in the kitchen, but it was her love.
You wrote an article about that. Pearl's always been a writer. And before she wrote health books, she wrote articles about people she loved and would submit them to different magazines. And she wrote one. What was it called?
I only got one published.
What was that one about?
More Than Toast and Pots and Pans. More than it was toast about and my pots Nana's kitchen.
And it wasn't about the bread or the pots and pans. It was about you became to love the woman in the kitchen.
Yeah, because her life was lived through the kitchen. That's where people would come in to see her. She always had people coming in. And they knew that when she would come, there'd be some soup boiling or some muffin she was making. It's all healthy because remember, she was the original crunchy. And they would sit there and it was like the stool to her counter was like the counseling couch. And that's where she would just minister to people and such, you know, my Nana was very opposite to my mom, and our mom's a world changer and a preacher and a very vivacious personality, where our Nana was much quieter and a little woman. She was only like 5'5", where our mom's 6 foot, and they were opposites.
Yeah.
And yet they reached people both in their own ways. Yes. Our Nana was very quiet, but oh my goodness, the impact she had on her neighborhood. I mean, even out from her neighborhood, her kitchen was the place people loved to be. When I think about some of the best memories of my life, they're in my Nana's kitchen. It was the warmest, most beautiful place. I know that many of you have memories of, you know, maybe it was your Italian grandmother or something, but it's just, you know, those things go deep and they last.
Well, let's just even beyond our Nana, just think of some of the best memories in your life, Dan, Pearl, me, John and Leslie in this room. They're usually around meals.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving dinners or Christmas dinners or special occasions or special evenings or around food and around people that you love. Let's think of when Jesus tried to make a memory with his disciples and teach them or say something precious to them that he wanted to impart. It was always around a meal.
Yeah, then that's what the Bible says.
And there was preparation to that.
Eating and drinking. Yes.
And he told his disciples special thing. Okay, so now, you know, when they were going to prepare the Passover meal for him, and there was instructions, and there's always preparation that goes into a great memory.
He cooked the fish because he knew they were hungry.
Yeah.
And when the 5,000 was out there, he didn't say, well, let them go now. I'm done. He was always like, no, gather the bread. He's thinking about the
food.
That's
one thing we talk about when we're all this fasting.
Intermittent fasting.
Well, he didn't think, okay. Well, they've already had their breakfast, obviously. They're out here in the middle of the desert. I'm not going to say they'll be fine until they get back to their village tonight.
They need some autophagy of their body.
He's like, no, we need to, you know, he had miracles out there so that they had a meal, a midday meal. So he didn't want them fasting from breakfast till dinner. Anyway, that's our own little offshoot.
Yeah, that's a rant.
But I do want to say, though.
Poor John. He's on the fasting kick.
We all love each other through our differences.
He's been fasting.
Yeah, but
get this man up.
I did want to say something, and it's just gone from me now.
You were probably going to say it's natural to the human experience to prepare and to think.
That's what I was going to say. And Pearl, you brought it here before. And Dan, if you'd listen, you'll remember that they were talking. Him and Dan are like naughty schoolboys. They're soon going to throw spitballs on our roof or something. They're in their own little conversation. But listen, Dan, we've talked about it here before, and Pearl, we've talked about it, how. It's actually found healing to the nervous system, to the sympathetic nervous system.
Is it para or simpa?
Oh, anyway, the good one.
The good
Dr.
one.
Dr. Foster would know.
Yes. We usually know, but I don't know over this right this second. But the one that calms your body down. Mundane chores that allow your body to, your mind to kind of be free to create. Where they're not mindless chores, but they allow you to sing or hum or, you know, they're not where you're concentrating on a math quiz to get it done. They're super healing to the body.
Yeah, they are.
They're super relaxing to the body. When you do them with a good attitude. Yeah.
I know that, and we're not saying you have to spend 3 hours on every meal and you're like, well, I forget Trim Healthy Mom if I have to, because I'm a fast girl. I don't like to belabor time. But I do realize in my life, to be successful, to grow old fantastically, where I'm not getting decrepit and I'm going to enjoy my life, I'm going to have to put thought into my meals, and I'm going to love to put thought into my meals, and I'm going to esteem the thought and planning that I have to put into my meals. It's the esteem we give them. It's when we remove the esteem and say, but why should I have to do that? In this world, I shouldn't have to think about it all the time. No. No, you should, because it's the best.
And it's not always going to be like you have to think. Because when anyone goes to school for anything, whether it's art college or whether it's, you know, for a doctorate in science or whatever, there's a lot of learning in the beginning because you're trying to get your head around the subject. But then once you get to your job for your rocket science or whatever, you know what to do. You know how it all works. And, you know, there's some thinking that's going into it. But you're not like having to wrap your head around it. It's not like a big, huge deal.
Not wrap your head, but you are giving it credence.
It might feel like to you guys, some people out there listening, that it is more effort than you want to give it. Because you're at the energy stage. Mm. Well, you're in college for this right now.
True.
You're learning the ropes and the things that you haven't thought about before. You're having to think about it. But just know, it gets so easy. And like, you might think, oh, she makes her bread. How complicated. I'd never want to do that. Do you know it's the quickest and simplest part of my week?
Yeah.
It's more simple than driving to the store and buying bread.
But if you're not going to be a bread maker.
Yeah.
That's fine too. I've never been a bread maker.
No.
And Leslie? Serene's bread recipes.
Yeah, but not the one I do now.
Are in the books, but she keeps changing them up, so they're never current.
But just know, whatever you do at first does feel overwhelming, but in the end, it's not. You know,
no, it's not. But there will always have to be some. Like, I'm always wondering at some point during my day, well, what am I making for dinner?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, what am I making for dinner?
And there can be times in the week you keep it simple,
and you can
and you train your family. This is simple. Like, okay, so we only do this kind of simple fast meals during the week, even though they're healthy and I'm organized about it. But maybe it's like a couple of nights a week, you kind of spend more time and make it precious.
So true. And it's not, I just think it's the wisdom of it all, that the food that you buy, there's thought into it. It's not just this is prepackaged and this is on sale. You know, I understand we're, you know, so many are on a budget, but that's part of the thought that we're doing for us and for future generations. You know, we're not buying that box of macaroni and cheese just because my child, 3-year-old, likes it.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter, because that's not speaking into her future.
Right.
I don't care if she likes it.
And the future of her
great-grandchild. I will find something she likes. That's what I mean, her future.
You go, Dan.
Well, what we found when we started getting healthy in our whole family and eating food from the earth is the child will absolutely detox and rage at first.
Yeah, they will.
Dude, let it happen. Yeah. Like, and that's not someone speaking like, you go, you do this. Like, that's what we did. Like, we had to let the little, and I mean, we're talking a couple of days of just like getting it like, hey, it's not happening. Like, it's just that, you know, this attachment that they will have over, you know, honestly, if we're talking about it in plain English, chemicals, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of chemicals that are pretty addictive in foods. You know, I would, you know, never mention any food like macaroni and cheese by name, but that's an example. Like, I was addicted. I'm emotionally attached. When I say the word macaroni and cheese, I think of that beautiful, creamy, golden, cheesy color, just flowing like oil
hot
over
from the microwave.
fresh from the microwave oven, flowing over those just squishy noodles, man. And you put some little, you don't even need salt. It's already
extra margarine.
Oh,
on
the
top.
Butter and milk and the cream. And dude, it's hard. It's a hard drug to kick, man. So, I mean, what we're saying is like, I think what I hear you saying is the encouragement to like move through that. Like, that's part of it. That's part of life.
And bringing back to Serene's Fruta place where this all started, it was so big-minded, right? Mm. And I think that when we wear that big-mindedness, all the little thing, it keeps us going. Because if we're starting this with small-minded, and I guess it's fine to start, maybe you start on plan or start your healthy eating because maybe you do want to fit into a dress by a wedding.
Yeah.
And that's fine to start. But I think to broaden our horizons, to be inspired for that bigger picture.
And you can start that bigger picture by starting with a very tiny picture, meaning you can start with just little old you. So you don't have to wait for the whole big picture to to come together before you start. It's like, okay, I'm waiting for my whole family to be on board so we can do this as a big generational picture. No, start with you because you're thinking about the big picture. Yeah. Start with you because you're thinking about all your children. They're going to watch your example. They're going to pick up these things. Your husband's going to be, wow, she's got more energy, you know, and he's going to start loving some of the foods you make and you're not telling him there's okra in it and all that stuff. You're thinking big picture, but you're not having to start with the big picture.
Yeah, and I'm sure ladies are listening right now. It's like, well, my children are older. They don't want anything that I'm making, and my husband doesn't like this. He's very stubborn. So I hear you. But even if you're doing this just for yourself, it's a bigger picture. It's a longer picture. It's bigger than 3 months. It's bigger than 6 months. Yes. It's 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And, you know, lifespan is changing as we know it.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that are available these days, the things that people are finding about epigenetics rather than genetics and what we can do to change and the things, the peptides that are here now and the things that are on the horizon, people are going to well be living over 100 years and not just living, but living well.
Yeah.
And so we've got to be around to be at that time when these things are happening, right? I want to be.
Yeah.
And so to do that, we need to look after these temples and think of that big, long picture. Sure, God numbers our days and stuff, but as long as I'm here, I'm going to do it well. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Maybe your children are older, but maybe it's your grandchildren. Because like we learned so much by just sitting on our Nana's kitchen. And my little Gwethy, my little Gethsemane granddaughter, they eat so healthy, Arden and Esther. That's their little baby. But she's picked up just little things from me just because.
Squiffy?
Yeah, because I always make my yak yum.
Oh.
And she loves yak yums just because she always has a little taste whenever she's around me.
Yeah.
Now she's got a taste for it. And now Ardenessa is like, she loves everything bitter. And like she gets it from me because she always gets a little taste of bitter things.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just, it's just, it's not, maybe your children are raised, but maybe it's just other people you're having an impact on. And Dan, just think about the generational thing from you. I mean, like you said, you were raised on this mac and cheese kind of Pop-Tart childhood. But I see when you bring your children here to sit next to you on the couch so they can have some daddy time.
Oh, they always bring out.
They're munching away on rainbow organic peppers and they've got like little salad bags and fruit bags next to them.
Yeah.
You've changed it.
Yeah, well.
You and Lisa. You married the right woman.
Yeah. You know, she was when we were first newlyweds, I cared not. I mean, I was making pasta and there was this gallon-sized tub of butter that I found.
Wow, that must have been
It was liquid butter. I don't think it was actual butter. It was liquid something.
Like you pour on the popcorn butter flavor?
It was something like that, yeah. And I would pour that over
everything
over the pasta and then I'd put Parmesan cheese on it. That was my, like if I had to make dinner when we were newlyweds, that's
what
I
made. Was Lisa, because she's sort of very...
She was mortified by it.
Oh, okay. So has she always been of the more health-minded?
Yeah. Yeah, she actually
was she ever junkie foodie? Was she ever?
When she was in growing up and
teenage.
But I mean, when we were newlyweds, she was really into, you know, now it's just, we call it normal eating, but you know, healthy eating, like it's a special category, healthy eating. It's like, dude, anyways, she was more there and I wasn't at all. And, there came a season where she was sort of, I think, obsessive about it to an unhealthy degree, like stressfully into health.
Yeah, stress.
Right? I remember her sitting next to me at church sometimes and us, we were having a little stressful conversation about what you were eating at work and stuff.
yeah, those days. And so she sort of weaned off and was, and really put her, and I think rightly so, her mind into her mindset and joy and peace and things like that being the real seat of having problems with food. Mm-hmm. And then now I think we're nice and full circle where we see both are so important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this body, right? If this is a temple where the spirit resides, man, is that an idea or is that really a thing within the realm of physics? And if so, how does the things that we put into this temple, how does it affect? Like we talk about, I'm feeling joyful, right? I'm feeling, I know I'm an overcomer. Well, those are Those are chemicals in your mind that are flowing. And what makes those joyful chemicals flow? Well, when the nutrition you're putting in your body
is so much
balance.
Easier when the physical body is harmonizing and not trying to attack the things, because you can pull up your big boots and big socks and your boots and okay, I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to be joyful no matter what. Yeah. But it's so much harder when you're fighting against your body.
When you're having a glycemic crash, because at 10:30, I rocked out to some Triscuits or something, you know, and then that next morning, you know, there's that shouldn't have done that feeling, instant regret. It's like a food hangover.
Oh, and it's 40. Oh, I think the last several years of Charlie's 40s. Remember those times he had the worst sugar highs and lows because he'd do this. Yeah. He'd get 5 cookies after every meal.
Yeah.
And that was the way he ended the meal. 5 cookies, chocolate chip cookies. 5's quite a lot.
Yeah. It's
right? And and straight after he'd be smiling because he reacts to sugar. Yeah. My husband's such a reactor.
He'd have a great night, right?
Yeah. He was feeling good. He was happy at the time. Directly about 45 minutes later, Mr. Angry Straight Pants.
Yeah. And let me tell you something.
And I had to just, in the end, I can't handle this, honey. You gonna have to get, you know. So in the, he doesn't do that now. He's so awesome. But it was a major thing for our marriage even.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can literally have a good or bad marriage based on your diet. Not totally based on your diet.
No, not totally, but
you know,
it can contribute.
Man, let's not pretend that what you put in your stomach doesn't have a cascade of chemical reactions throughout your body that make you think that your oldest son is bucking up to you or saying or getting in your face about something. But let's ignore this chemical change that's happening as you're crashing on a glycemic spiral.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
So true.
So true.
So like for me as like a dad who represents his kids like as the face of God.
Yeah.
Dude, to have a furrowed brow, just a slight furrowed irritancy is not to walk in what I as a man am supposed to walk in before my sons and daughters, you
and
know?
That's so beautiful, Dan. I love hearing that. And that's a generational change too. It's not just for the physical, you see. You're changing maybe the way, you know, you're fathering, you're in the way that you're responding to your children.
They've had seasons of their life where they grew up with a touchy, fussy dad, having everything to do with my glycemic spikes and crashes, my out of balance eating, my abuse of carbs and fats.
Wow.
True, but have you grown with that? You've also grown in the bigger picture of the fatherhood and so many things in your life. I mean, I've watched you step
into... Pearl, what he's saying is, remember when you were going through your menopause situation before you got on your hormones?
The menos,
the menses.
And you were happy.
You were happy. Yeah. You pulled up your big socks every day and you were a joyful person. I lived around you. I thought, she's such a joyful person. So fantastic. But when you started getting on the healthy hormones, when everything was done, so you could just start balancing everything out, you're like, I wake up and the trees are green. I don't have to tell myself, are they green? Yes, I'll make sure that they're green in my reality. You know?
Yeah.
You didn't have to work it up.
No.
Yeah. And so of course you can overcome in your spirit. Of course. And that's what we're called to do. It's so much easier.
It's housed in your body.
Yes.
It's housed in your body. It lives. It's not like, sorry to go off on the spirit and the body, some deep, you know, esoteric tangent here. But I'm just saying, like, that's been sort of my musing of late is this, like, if I really believe what I believe, then I believe it exists in the realm of physics. It's not an idea called my floaty spirit out there. And then here's the real stuff. Here's the body. It's like, man, we're more than you know, what we see. And so I think, not to over-spiritualize nutrition, but
there's a point to it. And what are you saying is what that word the scientists call
homeostasis
right?
That's what
when
I'm saying.
Things, and we can eat so that we're not disrupting it.
And can I say something to you?
Absolutely.
This is a thought that I had the other day. And tell me if I'm just going off the total deep, like, quack alert state.
Okay.
But, you know, people say, you know, well, this is just my tent or this is just my house. You know, the real me is. And that's so true. The real us is our spirit and our soul. Mm. And that's why people can go over to Iraq and get blown up, come back with just like half a body and they can have the best relationship with their wife, like, because the real him is there. I mean, the real you is your spirit and soul. It's not the physical. I totally agree. But we're to honor the physical tent because it's not just, oh, well, that's just my physical. Because I was thinking to myself, God honors the tent. Because I was thinking, you know, it says, you know, today we gone from the body, present with the Lord, and today you'll be with me in paradise, he said to the
Jesus
thief
said on the cross, yeah. Yes.
And I thought to myself, but then in the end, you know, it talks about, and the dead in Christ will rise. And I'm thinking, he cared enough that he's not going to leave those bodies all just rotten dust in the ground. He's going to bring them up. Bodies.
But the body, I don't know. I see, I don't agree with biologically with you because it's a
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Transformed body.
Is there a pastor?
Exactly. But yeah. I'm just trying to say our souls
pastor,
are up there. No, pastor. Our souls are up there immediately. I believe we're up there immediately. As soon as we die, we're up there immediately. Our spirit.
Yeah, but we get souls. A new physical body.
I agree. But
this
our bodies,
one down here does rot.
Yeah, I totally agree it does rot.
Okay.
But then there will be the dead in Christ will rise.
Yeah.
Where he will raise whatever's there. And
yeah,
I'm just saying,
but
is it because he's honoring?
Yeah.
He's just honoring the fact that this was the tent, just honoring that.
I love
that.
You. That, and that's one of the ones that we could agree to disagree on.
No, I don't even agree with it myself. I just thought about it. I don't even have an idea of what's true on that. All I know is I know I'm there straight away with God. If I died the second, I know I'm in heaven. I totally know that. And I know I have my new body and everything, but I do know that there are also scriptures that says that the dead in Christ will rise. And I'm thinking it's not their souls that are already there. It's their bodies. And I'm just thinking that even Christ honors the physical body.
Yeah,
and that's
but
all
those
I'm trying
bodies
to say.
Are very rotted by then.
I know, but maybe he just healed us.
They'd have to be healed.
That's
so
what
they'd
I'm
have
saying.
To be new.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm just trying to say there is an honoring to that and a regrouping of that just because it's not just like we can throw away the tent.
Not the food for thought.
Yeah. It was just an interesting thought. That the body is more than just, you know, it's just like with my miscarriage. Right? I know that the baby's straight away in heaven.
Yeah.
But I didn't just, I did a little burial too with what I had, what I could touch. I did a burial.
Right.
Because I was honoring to the body. And so that there is something that we can't just say, well, let's just concentrate on our inner man or on our inner self and on the spirit. And we'll just, there is something where we honor the tent.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree.
This
take that all out.
Is the Trim Healthy Podcast.
Take it out, Tim.
Trim Healthy Mama, my way. And then I'll be Trim Healthy Mama.